Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Growthpoint Properties Australia full-year results announcement conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, 17th of August, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Timothy Collyer, Managing Director. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the annual results presentation for Growthpoint for the year ended 30th of June 2015. My name is Tim Collyer. I'm the Managing Director of Growthpoint, and joining me today is Aaron Hockley, Investor Relations, Michael Green, Head of Property, and Dion Andrews, our CFO. Just on slide three, the presentation will cover five main areas, being an overview, a review of the property portfolio, financial management, strategy and performance, and the conclusion. I'll move to slide five. Whilst many of you are familiar with Growthpoint, we like to reiterate who we are and what we do. Slide five highlights our structure, which is an internally managed A-REIT listed on the ASX with substantial property portfolio valued at 2.4 billion dollars. Growthpoint is now included in the S&P/ASX 200 index. We have been operating in Australia for over 6 years and have progressively built up the portfolio through selective acquisitions. Our focus is on the rental income stream flowing from the properties to security holders and growing this over time. Growthpoint seeks to acquire modern, well-located properties leased to quality tenants and hold these assets for a medium to long term. Move to slide six, our key results, strategy, and performance. Before I talk on these, I'd like to say that we're most pleased with all aspects of the results this year and where we are positioned today. You'll see that the group's total security holder returns, so ASX returns, our return on equity, so our balance sheet return, have been very good. The quality property portfolio is positioned well, and our financial management and wider group strategies have been progressed well, which has benefited the group. To the key results, the security holder returns, we delivered a 36.4% return over the financial year, which I understand we were the second highest A-REIT in the index, and we have delivered a 21.3% per annum compound return over a five-year period. Our distributable income of 0.212 was 6% higher than that for financial year 2014 or last year, and we're forecasting a distribution for next year of 0.205. During the year, we were included in the S&P/ASX 300 initially. Liquidity improved, and we moved into the 200 index and also the MSCI Global Small Cap Index. Aaron will talk a bit further later about the increased liquidity of the stock. To slide seven, key results for the property portfolio include new leases and extended leases, sorry, of 69,000 sq m. We've had a good run on leasing. We have 100% of our industrial portfolio leased, and we've had some good results in the office sector as well. During the year, we acquired 119.5 million dollars worth of property, and you'll note from our valuation announcement a week or so ago. A very strong property valuation increases, $186 million worth over the year, and a 9% like-for-like value increase. Today, our portfolio is valued at $2.4 billion. We have a weighted average lease expiry of 6.7 years. One of the pleasing aspects about that WALE is the breakup of that. We've actually extended the office WALE during this year, and Michael Green will talk further about that. Our weighted average capitalisation rate is 7.3%, and whilst all our properties have been revalued recently, that would appear with some transactions going through at the moment to be a relatively conservative capitalisation rate. On slide 8, our key results under our under financial management. The distribution for the year was 19.7 cents. Our balance sheet gearing is at 37%, which is towards the lower end of our target range of 35 to 45%. With a good valuation increases, our NTA has increased 14.8%, so a very strong result there. Our NTA now stands at $2.48, up from $2.16 a year prior. Our weighted average debt term has been extended. It is now 4.7 years, and Dion will talk about our capital markets issuance that we've undertaken this year. Of course, on our capital management, during the year we obtained an investment grade credit rating from Moody's, and subsequent to that issued a 10-year loan note to a US life insurer, as a landmark transaction within the REIT sector, as it was a placement directly in Australian dollars for a term of 10 years. In summary, we are pleased with the results and we are well placed to move forward and execute on our strategies. I'll now hand over to Michael Green, Head of Property.
Thanks, Tim. Slide 10 provides a summary of the evolution of the group's portfolio over the last 5 years. Growthpoint has grown its portfolio in a prudent and managed fashion from 37 assets in financial year 2011 to 53 at the end of 2015. Over this time, the portfolio has almost doubled in value to $2.37 billion at the end of the reporting period. Whilst growing the portfolio, the group has continued to maintain a relatively high weighted average lease expiry profile of 6.7 years and acquire modern properties, where the average age of Growthpoint's portfolio is currently 8.3 years. Over the last 12 months, the group's property valuation average capitalisation rate has compressed from 7.9% to 7.3%. This is in response to some strong leasing results across the portfolio and general yield compression across the broader property sector. Turning to slide 11. Slide 11 continues the portfolio overview. Pertinent details to note include Growthpoint's top 10 tenants have a weighted average lease expiry of 7.2 years and contribute 59% of the group's income. These tenants are all significant entities. 71% of Growthpoint's income is derived from either listed companies or government authorities. The group's income predictability continues to be a key feature, with only 2% of the income expiring in financial year 16 and 4% in financial year 17. The group is working hard to extend leases and fill vacancies prior to lease expiries. Growthpoint's assets are located within all states throughout Australia and the Australian Capital Territory, with 82% of the portfolio being located in Australia's key eastern seaboard states. Turning to slide 12. Growthpoint had another excellent year of leasing within the portfolio, leasing circa 8,300 square metres of office space within its Brisbane and South Brisbane office assets, and approximately 45,500 square metres of industrial leasing, resulting in the group's industrial portfolio being 100% leased. Turning to slide 13. The leasing momentum has continued into the first month of the new financial year, with the group announcing 1,380 square metres of new leases at 333 Ann Street. Over to slide 14. Comprising 51% of the group's portfolio, Growthpoint's office assets are typically modern and well leased. The group's leasing over the financial year has extended the office portfolio weighted average lease expiry to 6.8 years, an improvement from the same time 12 months ago, when the office portfolio weighted average lease expiry was 6.5 years. The group is conscious that there is still work to do with several office leases expiring in June 2015, resulting in the occupancy rate for the office portfolio falling to 94% from 97% a year ago. There are minimal office leases expiring over financial years 2016 and 2017, which will enable the group to focus its attentions on its current expiries. Slides 15 to 17 give an overview of Growthpoint's five major office assets or property groupings and provide a flavour for Growthpoint's office portfolio. I don't propose to discuss each of these assets individually. However, I welcome any questions on the assets during the post-presentation question time. Turning now to slide 18. Pleasingly, Growthpoint's industrial portfolio is once again 100% leased, with 45,500 square metres of leases either being renewed or new tenants being welcomed to the portfolio throughout the year. The weighted average lease expiry is a healthy 6.5 years. Moving to slide 19. Slide 19 overviews Growthpoint's top five industrial assets. Once again, I don't propose to discuss each of these assets individually. However, I also welcome questions on these assets during the post-presentation question time. Slides 20 to 21 encapsulates the group's acquisitions over the year. The group acquired four assets at a total value of $119.5 million, and with a weighted average initial yield of 7.8%. And a weighted average lease expiry of 5.9 years. Over the year, Growthpoint have assessed a multitude of opportunities and have maintained a disciplined and deliberate approach to their acquisition strategy, purchasing well-leased modern assets in key locations. Moving to slide 22. Slide 22 provides a case study of the group's 2012 acquisition of 10 to 12 Mort Street, Canberra. Growthpoint acquired the property when a number of major institutional property owners were looking to exit Canberra. Growthpoint were attracted to the property due to its central Canberra location, strong yield of 10.3%, and the new lease which had recently been struck to the Commonwealth Government of 5 years. Purchasing the property for $55.8 million, Growthpoint's strategy was to negotiate with the sitting tenant to extend the lease, which we achieved recently, extending the lease from its 2017 expiry out to 2025. This has added a significant increase to the valuation, now valued at $85 million, a $29.2 million increase on the original purchase price, and has reduced the group's financial year 2017 potential expiries by 52%. We are very pleased that we were able to execute on the strategy formulated at the time of the acquisition and increase the valuation and future-proof the asset's cash flow for another 8 years from expiry. Reducing a major potential expiry risk increases the group's income predictability for Growthpoint security holders. Slide 23. Slide 23 provides a summary of the group's end-of-year valuations, where pleasingly we've seen an increase of $89.7 million over the half-year on a like-for-like basis, or approximately 4%. And on a year-on-year basis, the valuations have increased by $186 million, or a 9% increase. The positive increase can be attributed to a number of strong leasing results across the portfolio and the competitive acquisition market, which has prevailed over the last 12 months, driving market yields down across both the office and industrial property sectors. The group's average market yield across the portfolio has fallen from 7.9% to 7.3% over the year. Slide 24. In summary, the portfolio is performing very well, achieving 100% occupancy for the industrial portfolio and extending a number of significant office leases throughout the year were great results. The valuation appreciation previously mentioned has helped the strong increase in the group's NTA, and the $119.5 million of combined acquisitions have further improved the group's portfolio. The focus for the future remains on leasing and considered acquisitions, The group may also look to make a strategic divestment of smaller assets at some point over the next 12 months. I will now hand over to Growthpoint's Chief Financial Officer, Dion Andrews.
Thanks, Michael. The year to June 2015 has probably been Growthpoint's strongest financially so far. We achieved a number of key goals which both supported the excellent results, but importantly has also set the group on sound financial footing for the years to come. Slide 26 shows the financial highlights for the year, which include statutory profit of 50.4 cents per security, up 96% on the prior year off the back of robust property revaluations. Distributable earnings per security of 21.2 cents, well above guidance provided of at least 20.6 cents, and up 6% on the prior year. Distributions of 19.7 cents per security, up 3.7% on the prior year, and with a payout ratio of 93%. Our payout ratio is expected to return closer to our longer-term average of circa 95% for financial year 2016. Our financial position with regards to covenants has strengthened, with interest cover ratio up to 3.9 times versus a lending covenant of 1.6 times. Balance sheet gearing was down to 37%, whilst the actual loan-to-value ratio banking covenant, which is based on external property valuations only, was 39.4% versus a covenant of 60%. This clearly demonstrates that we have significant covenant headroom as at 30 June. All up, a very strong financial performance for the group, with increasing revenues, decreasing borrowing costs, and robust property revaluations combining for excellent security holder return. The graph on slide 27 displays the components of 14.8% growth in net tangible assets per security over the year. As can be seen, the major contributor was property revaluations, whilst raising equity via the distribution reinvestment plan at prices well in excess of NTA also provided some uplift. With evidence of further yield compression in the property post-year end, we will likely see further property valuation uplift in the period ahead, leading to further increase in net tangible assets. Moving to slide 28 now. Financial year 2015 saw the group execute well on its debt strategy. There were three key elements achieved during the year. Firstly, the group was provided with its first external credit rating, a Baa2 on senior secured debt by Moody's. This important step allowed the group to access debt markets outside of the shorter term bank debt. Secondly, in September we restructured, repriced and extended the existing bank debt, as well as bringing Commonwealth Bank into the syndicate and the three other major Australian banks. The restructure provided the group with the flexibility to issue into debt capital markets. The repricing lowered the cost of debt for the group and the extension helped increase the overall weighted average maturity profile of debt. The third leg of the strategy saw Growthpoint issue a 10-year fixed interest loan note of $200 million to a US-based life insurer. This deal diversified the sources of debt away from purely bank debt and also helped lengthen the average debt maturity. The executed strategy has put Growthpoint in an excellent financial position with balance sheet gearing at 37%, all-in debt cost at 4.76% per annum, and the average debt maturity of 4.7 years, with the first debt maturity in December 2017. Further, the group had $228 million of undrawn debt headroom as of 30 June 2015. We are in excellent shape to utilise attractively priced debt for future property transactions, should property that meets our strict investment criteria become available for purchase. Slide 29 shows our current maturity profile of interest rate swaps. During the year, the group extended a number of swaps to match the extended bank debt. Further, when the $200 million of fixed-rate loan notes were issued, the group terminated $200 million of swaps to reduce an overhedge position. The result of these transactions was to have 75% of debt fixed at 30 June, with a weighted average maturity of fixed debt at 5 years, closely mirroring the 4.7-year average maturity of debt. In slide 30, the figures show the group's management expense ratio, or MER, returned to its long-run average of circa 0.4% for FY15. The group targets this MER level in future years. Capital expenditure as a percentage of the value of property also remained low during the year at just 0.27%. This reflects a property portfolio of modern properties with generally low capital expenditure requirements, and this level of capital expenditure is not expected to increase significantly over the period ahead. Slide 31 provides our five-year financial performance and displays what we are all about, a distribution that grows year on year, along with some capital growth, to provide an strong overall security holder return. We are proud of this sustained performance and believe that with our disciplined approach and sound judgment, we can continue to achieve excellent returns for investors. Slide 32 summarises our key milestones achieved for the year. Distributable income up 6% to 21.2 cents per security. NTA up 14.8% to $2.48 per security. And the Moody's Baa2 rating being granted, leading to the issuance of a $200 million of fixed-rate loan notes. Looking ahead, the group has provided distribution guidance of 24.5 cents per security for FY16, up 4% on FY15. This forecast is based on highly visible income streams and debt costs. We will also focus on strengthening our balance sheet position by looking for further debt capital issuance to increase the diversity of debt sources and lengthen the debt maturity profile. We will also concentrate on keeping the MER to 0.4%, balance sheet gearing within the target range of 35 to 45%, and fixed debt between 75 and 100% of total debt. As I said in my opening remarks, the group has had an excellent year, but it is also very well set up for future years due to the execution of strategy achieved in FY15. I'll now hand over to Aaron Huckley.
Thanks, Leon. Turning to slide 34, which shows our very transparent business model. We acquire real property for the medium to long term, lease these properties to quality tenants, undertake asset management, including asset disposals where appropriate, pay relatively minimal costs, and distribute most of the rest of the property income to our security holders. Turning to slide 35, liquidity in Growthpoint securities increased dramatically in the 2015 financial year. Trading volumes increased by 182% from 2014, with nearly 133 million securities traded. This increase in trading helped Growthpoint enter the S&P ASX 300 in September 2014, the MSCI Global Small Cap Index in May 2015, and the S&P ASX 200 Index in June 2015. Today, Growthpoint South Africa owns 65% of our securities on issue, with institutions holding nearly 26% and retail investors nearly 9%. Our free float is now worth over $600 million. All of Growthpoint's directors and a majority of employees hold securities in Growthpoint. Slide 36 shows the 62.2% increase in Growthpoint's trading price from 2011 and the steady increase in distributions each year, averaging 3.3% per annum for the last 5 years. Turning to slide 37, Growthpoint had a total return over the last five financial years of nearly 107%, or 21.3% per annum, well above the sector average of 14.2%, as well as the broader share market at 9.5% per annum. Turning to slide 38. Based on our closing price of $3.13 on 30 June 2015 and our forecast distribution of 20.5 cents for this financial year, Growthpoint has a forecast distribution yield of 6.6%. This forecast is well above the sector average of 5.1%. Turning to slide 39. Over the 2015 financial year, Growthpoint continued its growth, maintained its strategy, and provided security holders with a 36.4% total return. Increased liquidity was rewarded by inclusion in several indexes, including the S&P 200, which is the primary Australian benchmark index. In the 2006 financial year, we aim to build on the success and develop our sustainability framework. Further details are available in our annual report, which was released today. I will now hand back to Tim Collier.
Thanks, Aaron. Slide 41. Our focus for the business in 2016 is consistent with prior years. However, we're adapting to the market and the circumstances of our property portfolio. Firstly, it's our goal to increase distribution to security holders. Now, that may be an obvious thing to say, but really all the things we do and all the strategies we put in place are really targeted at doing that and sustaining that over the long term. As part of that strategy, we will seek to undertake further accretive acquisitions. Growthpoint believes the property portfolio will benefit from further diversification and greater scale. So we wish to expand the portfolio. Given strong prices being paid in the market, we will carefully expand the portfolio with assets that show long-term value. Obviously, this is challenging given the strength of the real estate capital markets and global buyer demand for Australian commercial property assets. We believe there's inherent value in our existing property assets and they can be enhanced. Our existing property portfolio can be enhanced and security holder valued increase through leasing and retention of tenants. We have established a good track record with both of these, and our retention rate is around 75%. CapEx is targeted at maintaining the quality of the properties to maximise lettability and enhancing the green credentials of our portfolio. Latent development potential exists within the portfolio, and we also hold expansion rights and surplus land to many of our industrial properties for future tenant expansion. Growthpoint's long-term debt strategy has been clearly defined and it is executable with a larger property portfolio and group together with the assignment of the credit rating from Moody's. As Diana said, we propose to maintain gearing within the target range of 35 to 45% and extend the duration and diversity of our debt sources. So we will be looking at additional capital market issuances during financial year 2016. I'd like to thank you for your attendance today. I highlight that within the presentations there are appendices there, and I also refer you to our website for further information. In conclusion, just before the questions, we believe the financial results for financial year 2015 were very strong, and these in turn have led to really good ASX returns and also strong returns from our balance sheet. Growthpoint is currently well placed in the property and capital markets and looks forward to the year ahead. Our guidance, of course, is for distributable income of 21.3 cents and a distribution of 25%. So we reaffirm that today. I'll hand back now and we'll take questions. Thank you.
We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star followed by the number two. We'll start with our first question from the line of Lauren Berry of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, I just noticed that your payout ratio has fallen this year, but your CapEx has also gone down. Can we assume the delta here is in higher lease incentives?
Sorry, I think the question was due to the payout ratio going down, is that due to higher leasing incentives paid this year? There were elevated leasing incentives paid this year compared to prior year and years previous. the payout ratio is really set. We forecast or declare what we're going to aim to pay at the beginning of the year, being the 19.7 cents. Our distributable income was 21.2 cents this financial year for a number of positive reasons across the year, pushing that payout ratio down. But we've always targeted that 3 to 4% distribution growth. Next year, that's growing by 4%. The payout ratio will increase a little bit again as the distributable income comes back towards that distributable figure. So the leasing incentives don't really impact on that decision there.
Sure. Could you share what kind of levels of incentives that you're seeing in the markets that you're operating in at the moment?
Sure. So our average incentive across all the leasing we did over the last financial year was about 25%, and that includes a combination of renewals and new leases coming to the market. So Brisbane, where we've done a lot of leasing, it's well reported that incentives are more elevated in that market compared to Melbourne and Sydney, which are tighter occupancy markets. So typically we're seeing incentives in the sort of 30 to 40% range for office leasing, depending on where the assets are and the quality of those assets. That's in Brisbane. We don't really have an exposure to either Melbourne or Sydney on the office side of things. Industrially, our leasing incentives have been in line with typical leases, generally one month per year of the lease. So 8.33% or something like that. That's generally where that's.
Okay, great. And I'm just on the outlook for operating expenses. You've said that you look like it's going to come in at 40 basis points or below. Is that a function of taking costs out, or is it more that the asset valuations are rising?
So asset valuations are rising. We're not looking to do a cost-out program. We're not eliminating positions. If anything, we grew our staff base over FY15, and on the back of a growing portfolio, if we were to grow significantly again in FY16, there may be a need to add additional employees. So we don't think there's a lot of fat in the cost base, to be frank, to be cutting out. So it's not a cost-out base.
Okay, great. And last one, Tim, you mentioned that the cap rate of 7.3% is relatively conservative. Would you be able to share your outlook for cap rate compression over the next 6 to 12 months?
That's a good question. I think it's hard to put a specific, you know, range, or I think cap rate's going to move down 25 points or 50 points. It depends on the quality of the property, where you are and so forth. But we would say this, that obviously, you know, we've seen some very large portfolios transact, and, you know, they're probably at the pinnacle of low cap rates. You know, they're big parcels that offshore parties can invest in, and I'm talking about Investor and Australand GIC portfolios. And then we've had selected assets through the market that have showed very firm cap rates. So I would say this: on the 30th of June valuations that have been done, a lot of that evidence and a lot of that sales activity that's going to come through the markets in the next 3 to 4 months, and valuers, you know, sitting by their desk analysing the sales, they really haven't come through yet. So there will, you know, based on those transactions, one would think there'd be a general movement in cap rates. How far that would be, you know, it's hard to say, but certainly a downward movement.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Sholto Maconochie of CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. How are you going?
Thanks, Sholto.
Yeah, good. Just a couple of quick ones. Just a bit more colour on the incentives. In Brisbane, you've got the vacancy went down in Brisbane sort of, you know, 3% year on year. And was that purely because of Ann Street mainly? 333 Ann?
Yeah, exactly. So we had... We had 8 levels come back in 333 Ann Street to us.
About almost 9,000 metres, about 9,000 metres, yeah.
Exactly. In June 2015. So they're recently been handed back to us. We've negotiated to sort of make good positions and those sorts of things. So we're just marketing those floors to the market at the moment. We've actually employed somebody full time on site there now to spend time just focusing on those almost as a project to lease those. We're doing a few sort of minor works, upgrading the end of trip facilities. We'll have a marketing floor in place there within the next couple of months. So we're actively on the ground there, trying to solve that equation basically.
You've got about, from looking at slide 13, about roughly 12-15% of that sort of in leased up since 30 June. About 12%, I calculate. So you know.
Yeah, some of those were, some of that was vacancy that was already sitting in the building, and then some
Is
either vacancy that was potentially going to come up in the next 12 months where we knew tenants were leaving, and we sort of pre-marketed that space so we wouldn't have any downtime. And then right, some of it is newly handed back to us.
And is that what's driving sort of your low growth of about sort of 0.5% on the EPU level?
Predominantly it is. So, you know, our forecasts are, you know, relatively conservative, but it is a tough market in Brisbane at the moment. So Brisbane, you know, out of all our properties, the sort of downside of having a very well leased property with quality tenants, long term leases, if you have a vacancy, it shows up. You know, 9,000 square metres or so. In a million square metres is not a lot, but it will slow our earnings relative to what they would be because we have to lease that space up. So you know it is one of our concentrations, but it also presents it's not only a downside risk, it's also an opportunity as well. So we've had a very good track record in Brisbane. We acquired the SW1 properties, and we've turned them around with short-term WALEs into long-term WALEs. And there's probably some further good news to come out on the SW1 side. And really, the vacant space in 333 Ann Street we've only had for about a month or so. You know, we're confident in our abilities. We think it's a good property. It's obviously, a vacancy hitting the market at a difficult time. That's all it is.
It's also worth bearing in mind, Salto, that the distributable income was 6% higher in FY15 from FY14. So if you add the 1% for this year, that's actually a 7% growth from FY14 to FY16. So about 3.5% per annum on that basis.
Yeah, no, that's correct. And then just on the incentives, I think you disclose the incentives, what you're giving on 333 Ann, or are they sort of at the high end of that 30-40% range?
No, I mean, I don't propose to go through each of those deals individually, but they're the highest would be somewhere between 35 and 40, and the majority of them are below 35.
Okay, cool. And then just on the maintenance CapEx, on slide, I think it was the... it was 5.9 million, but in the note 3 had 6.9 on the capex. Does that include lease incentives, cash incentives, or just maintenance capex in that 5.9 million?
Just maintenance capex in that 5.9.
If you had to put in the cash incentives, is that why it's $1 million different to the 4E and the Prezzo? Because it in the reconciliation of the property account?
I think there was a little bit of expansion capex carried over from previous financial year, which is just the difference between the two numbers relative
to branding. And how much dollar value was there in cash incentives in 15?
We don't actually release that number. There are ways to work it out from the numbers provided, but it's not a number that we put around the market for. It's a little sensitive to deals that we're trying to do at the moment.
Okay. And that's everything. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Arthur.
Your next question comes from the line of Tony Sherlock of Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. So it was an excellent result, actually, so thank you, good work with that. I was just wondering, with respect to 10 to 12 Maud Street in Canberra, that went up 48% on that new lease. Was that the type of magnitude that you were anticipating, or was it just purely the cap rate coming in from 8.5 to 7?
Well, I mean, it's because the cap rate's come down because of the leasing that we've done, obviously, so we sort of future-proofed that asset. I think, we benefited by a bit of yield compression in the general market there. I suppose when we started negotiations, the market was probably not as firm as it is today, but at the same point in time, we were anticipating making a significant gain by extending the lease.
Okay. The other question was just with respect to, I suppose, the low interest rate environment. Have you revised your ROE hurdles at all?
Well, our criteria for purchase is not a specific return on equity or IRR. We look at a range of things when we look for future investment. So we look at how it affects the distributable income, the gearing, the NTA, and so forth. So, and how it affects the portfolio as a whole. But I think where your question is, have returns, whether they have returns on equity or unlevered IRRs in the market reduced? Yes, they have. And obviously, I think investors globally are accepting lower returns than they have previously. There's obviously low inflation domestically. We have low bond rates. There's obviously low borrowing rate throughout the US and Europe, and little growth, lower growth. So people's expectations are for lower returns, and we're seeing that with tightening or falling cap rates within the market. People might buy a property at 6%, whereas 12 months ago it might have been 7%, and growth of 2% given a total return of 8%, whereas 12 months ago they might have gone for 9 or 10%. So, but we don't have a fixed return on equity that we have to achieve every single time.
Okay, no, it was just whether that, I think in your prezo on slide 28 said your marginal cost of debt was 2.8%. As that moves around, does your ROE hurdle change? As your cost of debt moves around, do you adjust your ROE hurdle quickly, or is that set more of a long-term?
We look at longer-term rates when we factor in our acquisition, so a reversion to a normal rate. We think it's important when we buy at this point in the cycle where rates are low that we, on the other side of the equation, go and lock in a lot of debt for a reasonably long term, and that's our strategy to combat against those tighter cap rates and the excess return you get from very low interest rates at the moment. So,
but Tony, we don't have set ROE hurdles internally, so I guess, going back to the original part of your question, it doesn't change it from that perspective. We're buying for assets that we think will deliver a good long-term return rather than being fixated on a particular ROE hurdle.
Yeah. Okay, and just one final question, just on the Brisbane market. Do you have an internal view as to when those, incentives are going to start coming in?
We think it'll be a little while to go. There's three buildings being completed at the moment, which will, they'll create a bit more vacancy in the market. But what we have noticed on the positive side of things, particularly in the last 6 months, is a big uptick in inquiry and also sort of deal flow transactions. So some larger tenants in the market. So I think I think whilst the general market is improving up there, there is still the threat of more stock coming on, which will mean that incentives will probably remain at this elevated level for a bit longer than in other capital city markets, excluding Perth.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Danny.
If you'd like to ask a question today, please press star one on your telephone keypad. There appears to be no further questions at this time.
Thanks very much, everyone, for hearing our presentation today. And if you would like any further questions answered separately, please contact any one of us, and we'll be happy to talk to you and email you as well. So thank you once again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference. You may all now disconnect.